of Beis Amar Aleph up to the first Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Me'idin l'or haner u'l'or halivana u'masiyan al pibaskol. So again, we're talking about types of scenarios that allow a woman to remarry if you testify that a person died. So if you only see a body by candlelight or by moonlight, that's good enough. Or even if you hear what the Mishnah calls a baskol. Now again, probably not a heavenly voice, but some kind of a disjointed voice. You heard someone talking, you know, out there that this guy died. So the Mishnah says you can also rely on that. Ma'ase be'echad sh'amar al rosh ha'har v'amar ish ploni ben ploni mimakom ploni meis. They heard some guy, they heard a voice standing on top of the mountain saying, so-and-so died, and they went to the place and they couldn't find the guy, and they allowed his wife to remarry based on that. There was a guy who came from the city of Tzalmon. He said, I've been bit by a snake. I'm mortally wounded. I'm going to die in the next couple of minutes. And they allowed his wife to remarry based on that. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel Tana. So there's a machlokes, whether we allow a person to remarry, whether a woman can remarry based on, again, this quote-unquote baskol, this disjointed voice. You hear a voice out there saying, Reuven died, is that good enough? So it's a machlokes beisham beisel. So the Gemara asks, Maika mashmalon, masnisani. That's what our Mishnah said. Our Mishnah just told us that you can remarry based on that. So the Gemara says, no. Hakamashmalon, de'im mishtakacha, stomach, de'im masiyan beishamahi. All the Gemara is teaching us is that if I find a stam Mishnah that says that you're not allowed to remarry based on this quote unquote bas kol, that must reflect the opinion of Beis Shama. Okay, then we said, V'holchu v'lo matzu, v'dilma sheid hava. So the Mishnah had a case where they heard this voice and they went to the mountain and they couldn't find the person there and they assumed that he was dead and they allowed his wife to remarry. Well, maybe it was a demon who was espousing these statements and maybe the whole thing was made up. So the Gemara says, no. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Shiro lo demosadam, because they saw a human image when they heard the voice coming out from on top of the mountain. So the Gemara asks, in Hunami damu. So again, a demon can also look like a person. The Gemara says, no, dechazu le bavua, where they saw a shadow. So the Gemara says, ve'in hunami isluhu bavua, demons also have shadows. The Gemara says, no, dechazu le bavua de bavua, they saw a shadow of a shadow. So the Gemara says, v'dilma le didu isluhu bavua de bavua, maybe demons also have shadows of shadows. So the Gemara says, no, amar Rabbi Chanina, amar Liyona san Sheda, bavua isluhu bavua de bavua leisluhu. This was a tradition that Rabbi Chanina had from Yonasan the demon, that demons only have one shadow and not two shadows. So the Gemara then asks, v'dilma tzara havai, forget about all the demons. The Gemara says, maybe this was the co-wife. Maybe the guy's co-wife was the one who was saying that he died in order to mess over the other wife, as we spoke a lot about this idea, you know, in the last couple of weeks. So the Gemara says, no, Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, B'shas HaSakana, Kostin V'nos, then Afa Pisha in Makir. And the Gemara quotes that during a time of persecution, we allow and we authorize writing Gittin, even though we don't necessarily recognize the voice or the person or the circumstance. If you hear something that says that this guy died or whatever, so we can allow the person to remarry, or in the scenario where the guy came running in and saying, I was bit by a snake and I'm about to die, you know, write a get for my wife, so we can authorize in those types of scenarios. Okay, says the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Kishiyarati lina harda la'aber hashana, matzasi nechemya ish beis deli, Amar li shamati she'ein masiyanes ha'isha be'eret Yisrael al piyeh rechad ela Yehuda ben Bava, v'numesi lochen advarim. So Rabbi Akiva said that when he went to Naharda to make it into a leap year, he found nechemya ish beis deli, the guy who used to, you know, dig the wells and draw water out of the wells. And he said, I heard a tradition that the only Tana in Eretz Yisrael who allows a woman to remarry based on the testimony of an Ein Echad is Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, and Nechemya affirmed what Rabbi Akiva thought. We actually referenced this Gemara a couple of daf ago, this Mishnah a couple of daf ago. Wait, so again, he said, yeah, that's in fact the case. So Amar li emor lahem mishmi, atem yodim shehamedina mishubeshes begayasos,
so
basically what happened was is that Rabbi Akiva said, go and tell all the Zakenim, all the Talmidei Chachamim, that I also accept that premise. It's not just a lone sheet of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. This is the standard accepted halacha that a woman can remarry based on the testimony of an Eid Echad. And when Nechemya told Rabbi Gamliel Hazakin, he was happy because he finally found another sheet to corroborate Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. That became the accepted halacha. Then the Mishnah says, "Mitocha davar nizka Rabban Gamliel shenergu harugim betel arza v'hisi Rabban Gamliel nisho san al pied echad v'huchzeku lios masiyan aid mipiyed mipiyevin mipiyisha mipiyshevcha Rabbi Eliezer v'Rabbi Yoshua omrim ein masiyan esa isha al pied echad Rabbi Akiva omer lo al piyisha v'lo al piyevin v'lo al piyshevcha v'lo al pikrovim." So first the Mishnah notes that Rabban Gamliel, once this psak became formalized, remembered that there was an incident in the town of Tel Arza where these people were these men were killed, but but there was only testimony from an Eid Echad, and once this psak became formalized, he allowed their wives to remarry. Then the Mishnah quotes a technical machlokas here about, we know, in other words, are all types of people going to be valid to testify that the husband died and allow the woman to remarry? So according to the first opinion, according to the Tanakhama and the Mishnah, basically anyone can testify. In other words, even those types of people or scenarios that would normally be disqualified for Eidos, everything's on the table here. So for example, Eid Mipa, that's basically hearsay, right? You hear, you know, secondhand that Reuven died. Normally hearsay is not acceptable for Eidos and Bezdin, but in this scenario where you don't really need real Eidos anyway, so Eid Mipa is okay, or an Evet testifying, or an Isha, or a Shifcha, all the people who normally are disqualified from Eidos, according to the Tanakhama, are fine. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua say that you are not allowed to allow a woman to remarry based on an Eid Echad. Rabbi Akiva says not only can you not allow her to remarry based on an Eid Echad, but all the people that are otherwise disqualified for regular Eidos are also disqualified here. So she can't marry based on an Eid Echad, or a Shifcha, or a Karo, someone who's a relative. All the people that are normally disqualified for Eidos, according to Rabbi Akiva, would also be disqualified here as well. Okay, so asks the Gemara, the summer Rabbi Akiva al pi ishalo, is it true that Rabbi Akiva holds that a woman is not allowed to testify that the husband died and allowed the wife to remarry? V'hasanya, Rishon ben Elazar Omer Mishum Rabbi Akiva, Isha ne'menes lahavi gita mikal v'chomer, Uma nashim sha'amru chachamim, So the Gemara points out the following. The Gemara says it's based on a kal v'chomer. So there are some cases where the women are not believed to say that their husbands died, but if they were to come to us with a get, so then we would accept the fact that they were divorced. So here, where we do grant the woman credibility to say that her husband died, so kal v'chomer, if she came to us with a get, we should certainly believe her. So the Gemara points out, Nashim she'amru chachamim hu dala mehemne, Isha ba'alma mehemna. So it's only these specific categories of women that we don't grant credibility to say that the husband died, implying that a regular woman would be believed. In other words, as long as she's not a karov, a shifcha, whatever, normally we would believe her. So the Gemara says, no, lo kasha, kan kodem shehechziku, kan liacher shehechziku. Basically, the Gemara says that it was a question of whether this was before or after this takana. So once the takana was instituted, once they accepted this this statement of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, and Rabbi Akiva has accepted halacha that a woman can remarry based on an Eid Echad and a karov and a shifcha and whatever. So at that point, you know, everything was fair game. Anyone could testify that the husband died and we would accept it. But prior to that takana, before that became the, you know, the formalized psak, so then there were many more restrictions placed on the people that we would accept, you know, their testimony. Okay. Says the Mishnah, Amrulo, Maisa b'nei Levi, there were a group of Levim who had gone to the city of Tsoar. One of them became ill. They, you know, dropped him off at some kind of a hotel at an inn. On their way back, they went to the innkeeper and they asked her, where's our friend? So she said to them, he died and I buried him. So, and they allowed his wife to remarry based on her testimony, even though she wasn't Jewish. And we don't treat an Ashes Kohen like the innkeeper. The Gemara is going to explain what that means in a second. So Amar Lahu Lechashatehek Fundakis, that menes hapundakis. So the Mishnah says, when the Ashes Kohen becomes like the innkeeper, then we'll trust her like the innkeeper. What does that mean? So the Mishnah says, Hotzia lahem maklo visar milo vesefer Torah shahaya biyado. The proof that the innkeeper was telling the truth is that she brought out all of his personal belongings, his walking stick and his Sefer Torah and his signet ring and whatever. So because she had all these items, that was the proof that he was dead. In other words, it's not that we're specifically believing her objectively, it's that she actually has proof to corroborate the fact that he died. So the Gemara asks, my griusa de fundakis. The Mishnah seems to be presenting this innkeeper's credibility as being somewhat lacking. It's like, well, we're going to accept the innkeeper, and maybe not intrinsically, maybe because she has some kind of corroborating evidence. In other words, what's wrong objectively with her testimony? So the Gemara says, Amar of Kahana, pundakis overes kochavim haisa, umesicha lefi tuma haisa, ze maklo ve ze tarmilo ve ze kever she kvartiv bo. So basically, the Gemara says that, first of all, this was a non-Jewish woman, so that's already, you know, two strikes against her in terms of Eidos, right? She's not Jewish and she's a woman. And on top of that, the Gemara says this is what we call Mesiach Lefituma. We spoke about this briefly yesterday, right? Mesiach Lefituma is the idea that when you're kind of just shooting the breeze, you're talking about something else, and kind of, you know, in passing, in conversation, it comes up, oh, and by the way, this guy died, right? So she's like, oh, this is his walking stick, this is his Sefer Torah, oh, and by the way, he's dead, and I buried him. So that's called Mesiach Lefitumo, so she has no incentive to lie in that scenario, so we would accept what she says. So asks the Gemara, what do you mean? She was responding to them. They came to her and asked the innkeeper, where's our friend? And then she responded that he's dead. So she wasn't just shooting the breeze, she was directly answering their question. So the Gemara says, no. Kevan de chazasinu bachya, amrullah, the Gemara says, what really happened was, is that when these guys came back to the inn to go and try and retrieve their friend, they saw the innkeeper crying, then they asked her, where's our friend? And then she said that he died. So it wasn't really a direct response. They asked the question, it was triggered by something that she was doing. Okay, the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbana. Ma'iseh ba'adam echad sheba lohayed al ha'isha, lifnei Rabbi Tarfon. Guy came to testify about a woman, in other words, about the fact that her husband died in front of Rabbi Tarfon. Amar lo bini hecha ta yodea be'edus ishazo. How do you know? How do you know that her husband died? Amar Aniva who hayinu holchem adar, because he and I were traveling. The radafa charenu gayas, the nisle beyichur shel zayas ufshacho, the hechaziras agayas lachar. So me and him were traveling, and there this army was chasing us, or these group of whatever these you know these soldiers were chasing us, and the guy basically ripped off this very heavy branch from an olive grove or an olive vine or whatever, and he started basically using it as a weapon, and he caused the army to retreat. So amarti lo arye yishar kochacha. So I said to him, arye, you know, shkoyach, basically, you know. In other words, you did a great job. You pushed the army back. So Amar Elisa, this guy said to me, "Ninai natal yodeh sha Arye Shemi." How do you know that that's my name? How do you know that my name is Arye? Kach korino so beiri Yochanan Reb Yehonasan Arye dimikvar Shechia. So he says that's in fact what they called me, right? They called me Yochanan, the son of Reb Yehonasan, the lion from Kfar Shechia. So Arye was, I don't know whether it was, again, it doesn't sound like it was his actual name, but it sounds like it was like a moniker, it was like a nickname or whatever that they used to call him. Liyamim chalav ames vehisi Rabbi Tarfonis ish. So the Gemara says, what happened was this guy turns to Rabbi Tarfon and says, yeah, so this whole story happened. I was traveling with this guy, Aryeh, from Kfar Shechia, and the soldiers were attacking, and he took the olive, you know, the branch, and he beat them back. And then 10 days later, the guy died naturally. So that was part of his whole story. So Rabbi Tarfon said, okay, we can accept his edus, we can accept what he's saying, and he allowed the guy's wife to remarry. So asks the Gemara of Rabbi Tarfon, Lobay Drisha Vachakira, the Hasanya, Maise Ba'adamecha Chebolifnei Rabbi Tarfon, Lohayed Edus Isha, Amar Lo Beni. So the Gemara relates that one time there was a guy, again, very similar scenario, came to testify that that the woman's husband died, and Rabbi Tarfon asked, how do you know? So almost an identical story here, where they're being chased by the army, but in this case, he takes a branch off of a fig tree, and he beats them back. He says the same thing, right? That you beat them back. Yochanan ben Yonas and Arye de Mikvar Shechia. And again, he said, you were mechavin to my name. That's the name that they give me. Liyamim chalav ames. And then he says that a couple of days later, the guy died naturally. So Amar lo, lo kach amarti li Yochanan ben Yonas and de Mikvar Shechia Arye. So now Rabbi Tarfon starts to question him. He starts to ask this guy, well, didn't you tell me that his name was Yochanan ben Yonasan from Kfar Shechia Arye? Which sounds like Arye is actually the name of the town as opposed to the name of the person. So Amar le lo, elakach amarti lecha Yochanan ben Yonasan Arye de Mikvar Shechia. Basically, Rabbi Tarfon started to probe and started to, you know, ask him a lot of questions, and he realized that the guy really meant that Arye was his name, not the name of the town. Fine. So that was the end of the story. But the point here is, though, that Rabbi Tarfon is doing a lot of probing here. He's doing what we call Drisha Vachakira. He's asking a lot of questions to verify that the testimony is correct. But in the first story with the olive branch, Rabbi Tarfon didn't ask anything. In other words, here the guy tell a story, and he just let the wife remarry right away. So the Gemara says, Tanaihi, Desanya. Ain Bodkin Ede Nashim Bedrisha Vachakira Divri Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon Omer Bodkin. It's a machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon. Meaning, in these types of scenarios where we accept the lower degree of Edus, right, where a woman can testify or an Eved or whatever, you know, all these cases that we accept this lower degree of Edus to say that the husband died, do we also now require Drisha Vachakira, the normal, you know, legal proceedings of questioning the witnesses, or can we do away with that? So according to Rabbi Akiva, that's not required. Rabbi Akiva says you don't have to do Drisha Vachakira here because the whole Edus itself is not a real bona fide Edus, because these people are not really qualified to testify in general. But Rabbi Tarfon says no. Rabbi Tarfon says you still have to do your drusha v'chakira. And the Gemara points out, "V'kamiflegei the Rabbi Chanina, the Amar Rabbi Chanina, Dvar Torah, Echad Dine Mamonos, VeEchad Dine Nefashos, Bedrusha v'chakira, Shene Amar Mishpat Echad Yalachem, Umata Mamru Dine Mamonos, Ein Shrich and Drusha v'chakira, Shalot Tino Dals B'fnei Lovin." The famous idea that Mida Oraisa, drusha v'chakira is really required for all types of cases in court, whether it's monetary, whether it's capital. You really require drusha v'chakira in all cases. However, Mida Rabbanan, they did away with because they wanted to incentivize people to lend money. If the only way I could get my money back as a lender is by sitting through some legal proceeding every time I lend money, I would never lend money. So in order to incentivize people to lend money, they did away with Drisha V'Chakir by Dinei Mamonos, but it still applies by Dinei Nefashos. The Gemara says, "Uvemaykom Yeflegei, Mar Savar Kivan de Ika Ksuva Lemishka Kidinei Mamonos Dame, Umar Savar Kivan de Kasharin and Eshes Eshli Alma Kidinei Nefashos Dame." The Machlokas was as follows: is that do we look at marriage fundamentally as a Dinei Mamonos type of a question or a Dinei Nefashos type of a question? Because on the one hand, you have a Ksuba, so that's clearly Dinei Mamonos, but on the other hand, when you're talking about the question of allowing an Eshes Eshki remarry, that's a question that could potentially have ramifications in the realm of Dinei Nefashos. So that was the Machlokas that they were fighting about. Is this fundamentally Dinei Mamonos or Dinei Nefashos? If you think it's Dinei Mamonos, so Midrabanan, we did away with Yushav HaKira by Dinei Mamonos, and therefore that's why it's not required. If you think it's basically Dinei Nefashos, so then of course you're going to require Yushav HaKira. And finally, the Gemara ends off with the famous Maimer Chazal, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Tamidei Chachamim, Marim Shalom Ba'olam, Shenemar, V'chol Banayach, Limudei Hashem, V'rav Shalom Banayach, Tamidei Chachamim, bring peace to the world. And again, why this is the end of Yevamos is a whole discussion that some of the Achronim discuss, but that is how the Masechta ends. Hadralach, Ha'isha Basar, Slikalam, Masechta, Yevamos.